Lord, we were down in the miry mud. We were hopeless. We were filled with sin and covered up. And you sent your son. And Jesus shed his blood, the perfect, matchless, precious, powerful blood of Jesus. And in his blood, and only through his blood, have our sins been washed clean and our lives been forgiven. And us, we've been reconciled to you through Jesus. God, we love you. Lord, I just don't even know what to say. All I can say is we love you. We praise you. We don't deserve it. And Lord, may not a person leave this place tonight without knowing that Jesus, there is hope in you and in you alone. God, anoint Brother Jimmy as he comes tonight to preach this word, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. Well, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. I'm beginning to think that most of you all came from a Assembly of God background. Because you know how to clap. Baptists have no clue about clapping, right? Have you ever noticed? I mean, it's not on the right beat and none of those things. So I'm thinking, wow, this has been powerful, hasn't it? I mean, the worship has been absolutely powerful. Thank you, Brother Mark, for, I told Diane when we got home last night, I said, there's a whole lot of work that's going on right there. People have been working really, really hard. The orchestra, the instrumentalist, everybody, it has been fabulous. I heard an evangelist once say, I've had such a great time, I've invited myself back and I've accepted my invitation. But when I come back, I want to hear Brady preach. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Brady. It has just been great for us. I mean, we have loved every single minute of the services, the fellowship that we've had. It has been absolutely fabulous. And so it will go down, and my wife will tell you, in our books, as one of the greatest weeks of our lives. And so thank you so much. Take your Bible with me tonight and turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter number 14. So while you're turning there, as we think back on the week, we began with being overwhelmed with Jesus. Being overwhelmed with him, being with him. That's what the scripture says. Jesus wanted his disciples to be with him. And when we're overwhelmed with him, we're overwhelmed with who he is. And then, since we're so sinful, how much he loves us. And we're overwhelmed with just all that he has, all he has to offer to us. His word and his assignment for us. And so we kind of move from there to talking about walking by faith. Walking by faith with the Lord. You know, he will invite us to opportunities of faith, won't he? He'll invite us to come, and he knows what's ahead. I'm glad he doesn't tell us all the time. And so we begin to walk with him, and he's praying for us. I mean, if God be for us, who can be against us, right? We're not trying this on our own. He's at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. And on this journey, y'all are like me, possibly. I mean, we try to do it on our own. That's just our instinct to try to do it on our own, and he'll let us come to the end of ourselves. And then Jesus shows up. He says, don't be afraid. And may we in this life ask him, Lord, invite me. I want to get in on what you're doing. I don't want to be a part of just what man's doing. I want to see what you're doing. And when we do, we better keep our eyes on him. And here's what I believe, that if you and I will walk by faith in the Lord, other people will come to know Christ in this journey. Part of who we are in the Lord is being surrendered to him. And we talked about that, I think it was on Monday night. We talked about being fully surrendered to him. The greatest spiritual act of worship we could ever do is give it all to Jesus. It's reasonable. It's acceptable to him. And when we do that, don't let the world conform us, but be metamorphosized I just made that up. I don't know what that. Put metamorphosis on that, all right? To be transformed, and we'll prove what's that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so what it looks like then, when we've completely surrendered ourselves and we died to self, it's Christ in us. And so we've looked at that. What does the Christ life look like? Well, it's a humble life of serving that's overcome with love, goodness, and with prayer. And so for this final message is, where does all this end up anyway? I mean, where are we going? Really, where are we? Not just tonight or tomorrow, but where are we going in this Christian life, in this walk of faith? And so tonight I want us to look at the hope in Jesus, or hope through Jesus. And really, we're going to talk about heaven for just a minute. I think we've kind of experienced just a taste of it, right, tonight? I mean, we're going to be celebrating in heaven, and so it's going to be great. John, the 14th chapter, and beginning with verse number 1. If you would you stand with me? We've eaten the holy bird, and it'll make you sleepy. John, the 14th chapter, verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." We've been singing about that tonight. "That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Thank you tonight, Father, for your goodness and your grace and the blessing of being here tonight. And so, Lord, may you have your way in our hearts tonight for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When the disciples began this journey with Jesus, they had no clue what was about to happen in their lives. And so they began following him, and people had followed religious leaders many, many times, but all of a sudden, they began to see things only God could do. And people that were born blind could see. And people that were born that could not, they've never walked in their life, began to walk. People that had leprosy, the grandfather of all diseases, Jesus even reached out, which the religious leaders would not do, and touched them, and they saw people healed. I mean, their head was just being, this was glorious, this was awesome, this was powerful. They even saw people that were dead come back to life. They saw the storm calm down and all these things. And so, I mean, their head's just spinning on how glorious this is. But the other thing that happened that they didn't count on was how much people would hate Jesus. And it didn't take long, because, I mean, his first sermon in his own hometown, he kind of crossed the line on, you know, that God might like Gentile people, and all of a sudden they took him to the edge of the cliff. They were going to try to kill Jesus and push him over, but he moved through the crowd, and of course it wasn't his time. But boy, did it grow, the opposition against Jesus. I mean, it was just growing and growing. The religious leaders, and they heard words like, "We're going to destroy him. We're going to seek an opportunity to kill him." And there was all kinds of opposition. So all these things were going on. And then you get into the last week of Jesus' life. And a lot of the Gospel of John is related to really the last week of his life. And so several things are happening. He comes into town, and that'll be this coming Sunday. And he cleanses the temple, and everybody's going, "Oh, whoa, this is something." And they're trying to take it in, and finally they get into the upper room, and he washes the disciples' feet. And even before this, he has been talking about the Son of Man is going to be, they're going to kill him. They're going to scourge him, spit on him. They're going to kill him. The third day he's going to rise again. What are you talking about? I mean, Peter even tried to, you know, say, "Don't talk like that." He rebuked Jesus. Can you imagine somebody rebuking Jesus? I mean, Peter was pretty bold. And so he rebuked him. And, And so all these things are happening. Then Jesus started talking about somebody's going to betray me and these things. And then when Peter, even when he stepped up, Jesus said, Peter, I know you're pledging your all to me, but actually you're going to deny me three times and the rooster's going to crow. And I mean, they're just going, what is going on here? And in the midst of that is John 14, verse 1, where in this setting of their, life is just spinning for them, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. The word troubled means to be stirred up. It's the word that's used when they were gathered around the pool of Bethesda in one of the in the Gospel of John, and they're waiting for the stirring of the water. And so that's what this verse means. He says, don't let not your heart be stirred up. Now, if anybody but the Lord says that to us, we say, well, it's easy for you to say, right? Because sometimes in our lives, we got a lot going on. As a matter of fact, most of the time, we got a lot going on. I know that each one of us, we come to a service and we think, man, nobody's just dealing with what I'm dealing with. But here's what I'm confident. If you started on the end and everybody stood up and told what was going on in their life, we would keep our own story. Because I'm just saying to you, everybody has something going on. And most of the time, we just don't say a whole lot about that. And so the Bible says, Christ says to us, let not your heart be troubled. And so then he says, you believe in God, believe also in me. He knew that most of them, they believed in God. And for the ones from the Jewish background, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And most of the people, even in that day, believed that there was a God. I mean, there's a God, and he's really quite unknowable. I mean, he's just kind of up there somewhere, and we believe he's powerful and all, but we're not sure what he's doing half the time. And I have to acknowledge when I look around at the butterflies, or if I look around at this or that, that there is a God, but he's just, kind of not knowable. And that's really what people think today. Some folks claim to be an atheist. You might have even been from that background or claim that yourself. The gospel says, the word of God says in Romans, there are no atheists. We may take that title, but the Bible says that God has put in the heart of every person that he does exist. Now, the thing is that I found out most of the folks who claim to be atheists are people, it's not that I don't believe in God, I just don't like him. Because he has allowed something to happen in life that I didn't like. And that's happened in all of our lives. That something happened in even Diane's doctor at one time with her heart issues. We were at a hospital in Nashville, and her doctor was a Jewish man. And so we had a conversation one day. Actually, I missed an opportunity to witness to him, and God gave me another opportunity to witness to him. So we were sharing, and I said, because a miracle really had happened in Diane's life before that she didn't have to have surgery. And I said, how do you think this happened? He said, I don't know. I said, well, I'm going to tell you how it happened. I said, there was a church that got together, and she came forward, and people prayed for her. And he said, I'm not sure that there is a God. And I said, well, why is that? He said, if there is a God, why did he allow the Holocaust? And so what I'm just saying to you is that it's not that people say that there's not a God. I just mad at him, or I don't understand him. So the truth of the matter is, the belief in God, it's worldwide. It doesn't matter. It's in the bush of Africa or Romania or wherever you've served or been or in the military, is that there is a belief in God, but if we're not careful, even for us, we got to be careful here that he's just not up there, but we don't think of a relationship. And Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. The verbiage there is actually keep on believing in me. They started, and you've got to keep on believing in me, because what Jesus is to us is God's statement, I want a relationship with you. The reason Jesus came, if we want to say, does God love me? The reason the eternal Son of God left heaven for one purpose is to come down here so that we could have a relationship with God and go to heaven one day instead of spending eternity separated from God because of our sin. He loves us. I mean, he loves us so much beyond what we can imagine. And so Jesus said, you believe in God, but you got to believe also in me. That is a statement of deity. Jesus is equating himself with God because he is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, in his life was the light of men. The first few verses of the Gospel of John. And so the Bible says, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And boy, then here it comes. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Some of your translations read dwelling places, whatever it might be. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I want to announce tonight, I want to reaffirm what Pastor Brady has already said and every pastor you've ever had. Heaven is a real place. It's a real place. I mean, if we're not careful, we think of heaven is, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just a bunch of spirits floating around, running into each other, singing kumbaya. I mean, and that's why a lot of folks don't care about going. I mean, you and I are going to have to make heaven very practical before even we as the church wants to go and gets excited about it. I'm saying to you, these words he uses here, my Father's house, mansions, dwelling places, a place, those are practical, real places that exist. And so the Bible says, in my Father's house. Again, that just tore the religious leaders up. It's that intimate personal relationship. You know, at one point, Jesus even called him Abba Father. You know what that means? Daddy. And they couldn't stand it. I know, and you know as well as I do, there is a reverent fear for God we must keep in our lives. But God Almighty wants to be, and he is, when we are born again, our daddy. Now, I know that's a bit challenging for some of us, especially if our experience with our earthly father wasn't the best in the world. And so that's where we have to kind of move by faith and say, God, would you work in my life in a supernatural way to help me overcome that? And the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions, many dwelling places. I would be a little bit leery. I know I'm kind of stepping out on a limb, but this is my last night, okay? I would be a little bit leery about the next book that comes out that says, I went to heaven and I'm going to tell you about it. Because the Apostle Paul said, when I heard things, I couldn't speak them about heaven. It's beyond us. It's powerful. And I know that for the joy set before Jesus, he allowed his skin to be stripped off and his organs exposed and nailed to an old Roman cross. Something, Philip, is glorious about heaven. There's something about my Father's house. I like the translation mansion, to be honest with you. Because I'm figuring, have y'all ever been to the Biltmore? Do you know what they use buildings like the Biltmore for in heaven? Porta potties. Now, I don't know that exactly. I'm just thinking, all right? Hey, here's what I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, we got to get this. The glory of heaven is absolutely phenomenal. If it says there's streets of gold, there's streets of gold. I mean, I went to a Christian college, and I'm not going to tell you which one. But in my class, we had to do a speech. And so I did a speech on heaven, and I mentioned streets of gold. And even my teacher in college came up to me afterwards and said, really, streets of gold? I said, really, streets of gold? I'm just saying to you, the crystal river, the tree of life, it is beyond anything we can possibly imagine. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many. It will accommodate all of us and every person we lead to Christ in our lives. Every person, it's not going to be overpopulated. Tonight I thought we was going to run out of chicken, but we didn't, all right? I'm just saying to you, there's plenty of room for us to take the gospel to every person we know. In our Father's house, there are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. And then Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. So when Jesus left after the resurrection. He didn't go to heaven to sit in a lounge chair, drink iced tea, and watch the Final Four. Jesus is busy. And so I know that when we think about that, and again, as pastors, there's a lot of pastors, I know that as pastors, we're kind of struggling with exactly what is he saying. He's going to prepare a place for us. We know that part from this event, part of what happened from this time forward, he went to the cross and he was resurrected and he made a way. So we know that much. We know that. We also know that in heaven right now, he's praying for us. Isn't that glorious? On this journey of faith, this walk of faith, he's praying for us. John 17, we can read that on a regular basis to see what's he praying for us. I'm not praying you take them out of the world. I'm praying you keep them from the evil one. I'm praying that they may be one. All these things, I'm praying my joy would be made full in them. So we know he's praying for us. I believe, Brother Brady, that in heaven, Jesus is imparting wisdom for us through the Holy Spirit. I mean, I don't know about you. There's many times in my life I have to call on him. I'm saying out loud, and if somebody's standing by me, they think, this guy's crazy. Who are you talking to? But I'm just saying to you, I need him. As I'm walking this journey of life, the devil, he's just on us all the time, isn't he? He's never going to leave us alone. I mean, praise God, he can't touch our soul, but he can mess with our minds. And he can tempt us, and there's times I'm walking along, and I just say, Jesus, not some kind of magical name or thing I'm saying. I'm calling on the person of Jesus. And I'm saying, Jesus, would you help me? You got to keep my mind from going there. You got to rescue me from this. And so he's praying for us. He's giving wisdom. I think he's defending us from the enemies. You see, there's sometimes in life when we participate in a victory. But according to the scriptures, there's sometimes where he says this, stand still and see the salvation of God. I mean, there's sometimes he don't need our help. For some of you women, if you're like my wife, we like to help God, right? And us men, we try to help him too. But there's sometimes God says, I don't need you to do anything. No more phone calls, no more resumes, no more anything. You just stand still and you watch me show off. So I'm believing that part of what he's doing is that. But here's something else he's doing. He's preparing a place for us. Now, we don't know exactly what that is like. I can tell you what happens when we prepare our place. Whenever Shannon, our daughter, and Abram, her husband, and our three granddaughters come, or Nathan, our son, and Laurie, his wife, and our grandson and our granddaughter come from South Carolina, we get the house ready. Mama kicks in gear, all right? And so we're going to clean the bathrooms, and we're going to put the towels out, and we're going to change the sheets on the bed, unless we can sleep on them and fool them, right? No, but we're going to change the sheets on the bed, and then I know that if my daughter-in-law's coming, Duke's mayonnaise is going to show up at the house. She won't eat no other mayonnaise but Duke's mayonnaise. And so if I have Duke's mayonnaise, I know Laurie's coming. Or if it's Brussels sprouts, or if it's, asparagus, I know my son's coming. He's from Greenville, South Carolina. Have you ever been there? It's a beautiful place. A lot of people in Greenville, though, are what I call granola people. Y'all know what that is? Tree-hugging granola people. Maybe you're here tonight, and I love people like that. I'm a redneck from Tennessee, so, you know, it's kind of a odd thing there. And so they like special things. And so I know who's coming. If the other day I walked in, and there was some chocolate chip morsels there, I said, Carly, our six-year-old granddaughter, must be coming to spend the night. She said she is, because she wants them in her pancakes. Here's just what I'm saying to you. When we know that somebody special is coming, we make a lot of preparation to get things ready for them. And I am a sinful human being. What do you think Jesus is doing for us? He's getting the place ready for us. glory. He knows what we like better than we do. We don't know what we like, do we? We're praying about moving to Murfreesboro. That's about an hour away because our grandchildren are there. Our church is there. My wife and my daughter used to own a restaurant, and they do a little cooking together, so that's there. So I've gone, Pastor Brady, all the way from, do we sell our house and buy a townhouse, a condo, all the way this week. While I've been here, my daughter sent me the picture of a farm with some donkeys on it. And you know what? I'm going, I don't know. I don't know what we want. Last night, I'm just going to give you a little insight here. Rachel and Shay were here. You know, Philip's parents, McKenna's parents. They like it here. If I were you, I'd tell them, in the month of March, if you join, we're going to give you a microwave. All right? I believe it'll get them. I'm not sure. But anyway, listen. Hey, here's what I'm saying to you. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, no preacher can explain this to you. I can't explain it. But in heaven right now, God is getting our place ready for us. He's not just getting a place ready for the church. He's not just getting a place ready for us in general. In particular, for you and me, He's getting our place ready. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I love this. And He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me tell you something. Jesus is not going to spend a lot of time getting our place ready, which started when we gave our hearts to Christ, or maybe even from eternity. He's not going to spend a lot of time and not come back and get us. Every Christian is going to make it to heaven. Every single one. There's times I've been at funeral services, my brother has also probably, and it kills me. One day I'm going to stand up and say something and the police going to carry me out. But I'm telling you, when I hear pastors stand up and say, well, we're just not sure about heaven, you know, we serve a just God and He's going to kind of make the decision, I go, you know what King David said? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know when his little baby died? He said, I can't get him to come back to me, but I will go to him. The Bible says, these things I've written to them that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, the assurance is every child of God is going to go home. And the Lord's going to come get us. And you say, well, what about those verses that says, who you endures to the end shall be saved, or, you know, cling unto the Lord and all those things. So we took a trip to Fall Creek Falls. It's supposed to be the highest falls, you know, what is it, east of the Mississippi. Of course, everybody claims to be the biggest of whatever, and I don't know. Who's ever measured it, right? I haven't. So I just believe them. So we went there, and it was Diane and myself and our son and our daughter, and my son was just small. And so we hiked down to the bottom of the falls. It's a long, long way down. We got down there, and I saw a fairly well-used trail that went up under the water behind it. And Nathan said, Daddy, let's go on that trail. Of course, Diane voted no, and we talked about it a little while. I said, I'll hold on to him. So I got a hold of him, and I said, now, son, don't let go of Daddy's hands. Don't do that, because here's what I knew. We're going to get up here behind those falls. He's going to look at those big rocks. I just knew. He's, what, probably 4, 5, 6 years old. He's going to let go and get on those rocks. I knew that. I also knew that if he slipped and fell, he wasn't strong enough. I told him to hang on, but what I knew in my heart is, whether he hung on or not, Daddy was strong enough to hold on to him. And that's why I said to Diane, I'll take care of him. Here's what I'm saying to you. In this life, there are verses, cling unto the Lord, hold to the Lord. But here's what God knows. We not only don't have the willpower, We don't have the strength to hold on to God. But I'll tell you one thing, He's holding on to us. And every child of God is going home. The Bible says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, one of the disciples, Thomas, said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. I mean, their head was spinning so much. We don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? How do we know how to get there? And Jesus said to him, I am. Aren't you glad? Isn't that powerful in those songs? I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's across the board. Sometimes we want to make an exception. Well, what about the people in Africa? I'm just telling you, we've been in the depths of the bush of Africa, and it's Jesus there. And like you all, we have opportunities to work on the streets of New York City, and it's Jesus there. And in Romania, and in India, and wherever you've been, all over the world, it's the same gospel, and it's the same Jesus. And so, he says, there's no way, so I am the way to the Father. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the truth about the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he said, I am the life of the Father. I'm the life of heaven. The glorious thing about that in that original language, there's several words for life, and one of the words is just like bios. It means just our biological. We get those words from it, biology, and it's our human bodies. But then there's that word zoe, which is the life that God possesses, and you can't get it anywhere else. And that's what this is. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life of God, and you can't get this life. You can't work for it. You can't study enough to get it. You can't get it anywhere else. It has to be given to us by God. And the life of God is the life of true peace and true joy and true fulfillment. And all the things we're searching for in the world, it's only found with Him. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So we're believing in Jesus. We're on our way to heaven, and the journey gets sweeter every day. This afternoon, we went out to Berry College. That has to be one of the most beautiful college campuses in the world. That thing is unbelievable. I've been there several times, but I forgot about it. So we were struggling a little bit with directions. There's a lot going on out there campus, and I hate to tell you this. I hate to confess this. I was holding the map upside down. Diane said, you go this? I said, you don't go that way. Well, we found some young person that worked there, and we turned the map right side up, and it's easy, you know. So we went up to the reservoir, and you know, you park in that little gravel lot, and you start walking. So we started walking down through there, and as we walked, there's a few times we said, wonder if we're going the right way. You know, we were thinking it was a trail, and it's kind of a road, you know, going up through there. And we said, oh, we're walking the right way. And then it said, this certain trail, it was a whole nother name. We thought, well, we were going the wrong way. We was going up and down, all these things. And finally, we came to a fork in the road. Whenever you come to a fork in the road, go right. Amen. And that's what the guy said. You're going to come. I said, well, I think we're in the right place. We're going to a fork in the road. I thought we should have been there. When I was 30, it was all right. When you're over 65, you need short trails. And we got to the end of that thing, and about time for me to eat a candy bar. And so we stood there, and we looked, and I said, he said, go right. So we went right, and it's all uphill from there. Y'all been there. It's all uphill. We stopped a few times, I said, and we almost turned around. Several times we almost turned around. We just got almost up there. I said, I can't breathe very good. Can you breathe very good? And so, all that stuff, you go. And so we're doing all that stuff. We're drinking water. And I know y'all are saying, it only takes us 10 minutes to get there, but it was a long journey for us. So we got part of the way up there, and we thought about stopping a few times. But then I said, I see some green stakes or something up there. I think we're close. I think this is the right way. And y'all know how it is. You crest that hill right there. It's phenomenal, isn't it? It's beautiful. the reservoir out there. We walked around, and it's peaceful, and it's fabulous. I said, Lord, thank you for that, because I'm going to use that tonight. Isn't that life? Isn't that life? We start this journey of faith called life. And there's up hills and there's valleys. For every person, there's hills and valleys. You may think, well, we've been through more than any other family's been through. That's just not true. I'm just telling you tonight, having counseled for 49 years, that's not true. Every family has had to walk through some valleys and over some hills, and it's been tough. I mean, for us, it's just been dark, dark days. We wondered, are we going to pull out of this thing with all kinds of situations? And so there's hills and valleys. And you think, I thought by the time I was getting, of course, when I was young, I thought people that were 50 were almost dead, right? And then I got to 50. and you think, you think that you reach a certain point in life and then just smooths out. Everybody over 50 can testify, it's all uphill from there, isn't it? And doctors have built their offices all along the road as you're climbing up the hill. What'd you do today, the doctor? It's awful. And so what happens is, I'm right, I'm telling the truth, aren't I? And so what happens is we go, and really the last years are some of the most challenging years for us. Because we can't do what we used to do, and sometimes we need some assistance and all, and it gets hard, and we wonder, are we going to make it? But Brother Brady, I know that one day, we're going to crest the hill. And one day, we're going to come up, and we're going to see this place that's been prepared for us. And there's going to be more joy and more peace than we've ever known in all our lives. And you know what we said when we got to the top of the hill? I'm glad we didn't quit, because it was worth it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Would you bow your head with me tonight? The Lord has been good to us to bring us, to allow us the privilege of meeting this week. Oh, it's been so good to me. I'm going to have to process what he's saying to me, myself. And maybe you've come here tonight. Here's the question. Do you know for sure that you have eternal life and that you'll go to heaven when you die? That's a question that we used to use when we were talking to folks about Christ. That's a great question. Some people, and I've had people say, I've had even part members of my own family say, well, I'm not sure. You can't do that. This is not one of those questions we can say, well, I'm not sure. If there's anything in life we have to be certain about, is what's going to happen when we die, because I don't know I'm going to make it home. And that's reality, isn't it? That's not a scare tactic. That's just reality. We don't know 5 minutes from now. Do I know for certain that I have eternal life and I'll go to heaven when I die? And if you're here tonight and you've never given your heart to Christ, oh, what a glorious hope we have. What a glorious hope we have. And tonight's the night. Right where you are. Now, I'm not saying just after I pray, but right now, wherever you're sitting. And you may be 15, you may be 10, you may be 45, you may be 60 or 75. But yet you don't have that assurance. Maybe you came from a background and we don't have any assurance. I don't know. I've been worried all my life. I don't know what's going to happen. Settle that thing tonight. If Christ is speaking to our hearts, the Holy Spirit's drawing us, say yes to the Lord. We've talked about this. You say, I can't live. It's not about us living it. It's about Christ in us. Settle that thing tonight. I've had people that given their hearts to Christ and they settled that issue and they're still smiling. It's been years ago. There's a peace that comes over us. We don't have to think about it ever again. We just walk with Christ, and we know we're going to heaven. And what an assurance that is for our children and our grandchildren. How many funerals we've had to do, and they say, well, I don't know about Daddy. I don't know about Mama. I don't know about Granddaddy. We tried to talk to him. He wouldn't talk about it. Tonight's the night. Say yes to Jesus. I want Christ. All you got to do is come take the pastor by the hand and say, I want Christ as my Savior tonight. Or pray right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life and be my Savior and Lord. And then for us as believers, oh boy, why is it that we don't think about heaven? Well, some of the times it may be that we've just got so much affection for the world. We forgot our daddy's looking for us coming home. We forgot he's preparing a place for us. I've had to say to the Lord before, I'm asking you to forgive me, Father, that I hadn't even thought about coming home this week. And you've been working on a place for me all week long. May it be that, oh boy, that God just excites us again about our heavenly home and all that he has for us. And he's preparing a place for us, and it's going to be great. And between now and then, we'll just walk by faith, and we'll tell everybody we can about the hope that is found in Jesus. Lord, you're so awesome and great. Would you have your way in our hearts for your honor and glory? In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand with me as Mark leads us? Pastor Brady's in the front. You come tonight as we sing.